Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just wine country, but farm country. And going for a hike and to the river country, and cooking country, and gardening country, but also reading country. You know, one of the things we love to do here in Sonoma County is read sometimes the work of people who wrote that book down the road or far, far away. My guest today is from Copperfields, that wonderful collection of bookstores that we get so many things from that we enjoy. She's the manager of the Healdsburg edition, location, I think we call that, edition, I'm thinking books, of Copperfields. She also is very involved in the purchase selection of books about things I love, cooking, food, gardening, farming, and other things wonderful. So please welcome to At the Table, Caitlin Smith.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
All right, let's start at the beginning. First of all, explain to people all about Fields, who they are and where they started and, you know, why they're so important to us as a beloved bookstore. Now, I want to mention that one of the reasons we're talking today is that Copperfields has been very, very generous in the community in many, many different ways. And right now they are offering, they've been supplying some wonderful books for a writing contest I've been involved with, the Last House Writing Contest. And we're in the midst of judging the finalists. So this is a special thank you to them and also a good opportunity to learn about a beloved institution in our community. Tell us a little bit, Katie, about Copperfields.
Well, we've been in the community for almost 40 years now, and we have 9 locations, which is pretty wonderful. I think just in general, having a bookstore in your hometown, it's almost like the heart of the bookstore. We grow to really love not only our communities, but our customers too, and we really want to give back. So in that way, we just really love to be a part of the community. And I think, well, here in Healdsburg, we actually have 2 bookstores, which is really fun, not Copperfields, but another bookstore. And we just feel very grateful that we can have 2 local indie bookstores in one small town.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's great about Copperfields is that you have a number of locations all around the North Bay communities, but they're run as independent bookstores, and they have not only a reflection of the Copperfield style, but also of the very community that they're in.
Yeah, it's one of the benefits of having an indie bookshop, because we learn what our customer base is and what they're coming for and asking for, and then trying to make sure that we always have exactly what they're wanting in stock. And our Healdsburg store is going to be a lot different than our Nevada or San Rafael store. Each store really tries to learn the customer base and really curate it. So that's why each of our stores are so different and a little bit quirky, and I think that's a lot of the fun.
I think so, too. Did it start in Sebastopol or did it start in Petaluma? Both of those stores make me feel, of course, all of your stores kind of make me feel that way, but both of those stores make me feel like this is where it all started.
Yeah, Sebastopol was our home store, and we have been in that location for almost 40 years, which is so wild. And you walk in there and you can feel the history, and a lot of the staff have been there for nearly that long, which is really fun too, so they can definitely take you on a walk down book memory lane there.
There's something about the sensibility of Sebastopol that pervades in all of the locations. I mean, there's something about Sebastopol, you know, people think of it as very offbeat and kind of hippie, a little bit hipster, but it's really the center of farm community and our history of farming in many, many ways. There are more food stores along that stretch of Highway 116 than anywhere I've ever been, ever. I mean, not just the Whole Foods and the community market and all those other things, but conventional. I mean, there's every brand of grocery store, and they're all busy all the time. I mean, from Andy's Farm Stand to the Pacific Market it's kind of extraordinary. Is there a strong food identity in all of the Copperfields locations?
I would definitely say so, and there's such a love of cookbooks that runs through our stores. And with this whole community, I feel like you can definitely find a foodie if you just introduce yourself to anyone on the street. So we really do try to have a good, well-rounded cookbook section in every store. And there's so many amazing restaurateurs around here, and a lot of them have cookbooks, so we definitely want to stock those.
You know, all right, we're talking to Caitlin Smith, or Katie, as she likes to be called sometimes, too. Katie, you buy these books. How is the selection process done for food and cookery books at Copperfields all across the board?
So we have a team of buyers that work out of our Sebastopol store, and then along with the store managers and even down to booksellers giving input on what they really like and what they want to see on the shelves. And sometimes we'll get advance notice that a chef that we really love is coming out with a book, or a chef that lives here in town, and we'll definitely stock those. But we work with our reps from the publishers and just get a really good feel of what the books are about, how they're going to look, how easy they are to cook from, because that's actually pretty important too. Are they usable? And one of the fun things this year, I helped out with the Golden Poppy Awards for the cookbooks. So they send us cookbooks and we test them out. So we bring them home, cook from them, see kind of if they're up to snuff, and then vote on them for the Golden Poppy. And that helps with my store inventory too, because all of the great ones I want to make sure that we have in our store.
Wait a second. Tell us the Golden Poppy. I mean, isn't that something by the side of the road? What's the Golden Poppy? Is this the new James Beard Cookbook Awards? What's going on here?
So there's the Golden Poppy Award, and the committees are made up of booksellers in California. So every single year we read them. So I'm on the fiction board and the cookbook board. So we read, and then for cooking, cook from the cookbooks and vote on our favorites. And then we pick the top five, and then those top five are then voted on from booksellers all from California. So it's kind of our way of vetting the books, and you know, if it won a Golden Poppy, it's probably a really good read.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. One of the things I like about Copperfields is that there are that section about the staff picks and selections. Obviously, a lot of places will have a display of things that are well reviewed by Kirkus or the New York Times or whatever. But I love that Copperfields often has a section that focuses on the books that those of you who work in the stores really love. And when it comes to cookbooks, I mean, there's nothing, it's one thing to have a staff pick about fiction, and that's great because everybody has their own style. But, you know, cookbooks are very, very personal. How do those get selected?
The cookbooks specifically?
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's on the staff picks and it's a food or cookbook, how does that get picked?
So in my store, well, we in Healdsburg before COVID had a cookbook club. So a lot of the books that we were selecting from there, because our staff is cooking from them, automatically we would recommend them, because if we loved it enough to keep making the recipes, it's probably a good one. But some of the time it's, we'll get a book in and the photography is really amazing and you're reading through it and it's not very intimidating, because some you kind of pick up and you're like, I don't know if this will ever be used, but it's beautiful. But we try to, as they're coming into the store, encourage booksellers to really look through them. So that way if someone comes in and they say, my lemon tree is packed with lemons, do you have any good citrus recipes? We can, you know, pretend to be a little bit magical and be like, I know the perfect citrus recipe for you. And there's nothing quite as satisfying as being able to pull that one out.
You know, that makes a great deal of sense. We'll get this over. We'll get through this coronavirus someday. Tell us about the cookbook club. I mean, do all of your stores have cookbook clubs?
No, so we are very lucky here in Healdsburg. We're good friends with our next-door neighbors, Thumbprint Cellars. They have delicious wine. So we started a regular book club where for $20 you would get the book selection and a glass of wine. So we would meet up and talk about the book and discuss it over wine. And so many of our members are big foodies, and I was telling them I would love to have cookbook authors come and we can make their food, and then the cookbook club was born. And we were only able to get a couple in before COVID hit, and hopefully we'll be able to start that back up again. But that is really fun because everyone gets a cookbook, you make a dish out of it, and then it's basically like a potluck dinner with wine and all your good book friends. So that was definitely, that's something I miss.
Oh my goodness, that sounds like, yeah, I mean, it sounds like the kind of cooking class that we've seen in different places around the country, but oftentimes it's done in a cookware shop or it's done in a food store, but not often is it done in a bookstore where you can do all those things. And in our last less than a minute, about what did that cost and about how many people did you have?
So the cost was just for the book, and the wine was included with the cookbook purchase. And I know a couple people were a little hesitant. They're shy cooks, so you didn't have to bring a dish if you didn't want to, but just let me know, and then I would cook a little extra that go around. And it was really fun. Everyone really enjoyed it, and it's nice to have dinner and wine and get to chat about books.
Yeah, and about how many people would you have in any one of these?
It really varies, but usually around 15. I think our biggest attended one was closer to 40, and that was a lot of food.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to talk more with Kate about good food at the table. We are back at the table, and I'm Clark Wolf, and I'm talking to Caitlin Smith. I'm sorry. She also goes by Katie. She's at the Healdsburg location of our beloved Copperfields bookstore. We've been talking about the cookery books and the cooking club and all the rest of it that they're doing. In the last month or two, I've been involved with something that I enjoy very much. It is called the MFK Fisher Last House Writing Contest, featuring the voices of emerging writers. And we've had a number of wonderful submissions. Currently, Ruth Reichel, Harold McGee, Elizabeth Fischel, Lena Trivedi-Grenier, Michelina Jordan, Kennedy Golden, that's MFK Fisher's daughter, Jerry DeVecchio, who used to be the editor of Sunset Magazine, Jonathan London, the award-winning children's book author, and Alice Waters of Chapinese fame. And by the way, I guess you should know that Ruth Reichel is an editor and an award-winning author of many books about food, and she's been a restaurant critic. Harold McGee, of course, has written about food and the science of cookery, and Elizabeth Fischel is an award-winning not only writer but writing teacher. Lena Trivedi-Grenier is a young woman who is up and coming, writing for the San Francisco Chronicle, has just won a number of different wonderful awards. And of course, our own Michelina Jordan is a beloved writer, author, and columnist. She also has a radio show. These are the people that have been judging the entries that came from children from 8 to 12, young people from 13 to 17, and adults or facsimiles thereof 18 and over. And I have to tell you, in the adult, we've got it down to 8 finalists. There were some wonderful, wonderful submissions, some great stories. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we can work something out with Copperfields to have some of them read at some of the locations along with the books that inspired them. Copperfields has given us some wonderful books as awards to those winners, and we'll be announcing those winners at the first part of November, because, you know, there's nothing else going on in early November that I can think of right now. There's maybe some kind of election or something, but in the meantime, you know, we're going to be talking about good writing about food. Caitlin Smith, you are the manager of the Healdsburg location of the beloved Copperfields. Tell us a little bit about how do you get to be the manager of a bookstore that has, I mean, really such a range and depth of books, such a wealth of joy and art and knowledge. I mean, I love what you said before about you can magically just remember that there is a wonderful lemon recipe in that book over there. But how do you go about that? How did that happen for you?
So I think my path is a little bit different than most. My sister actually worked for the company when she was in college. And she started working in this festival store, And I told her, that is so unfair. I'm the book lover. I should have gotten that. And she, and as always, she's a big book lover as well. But the Healdsburg store was hiring just a bookseller. And so she called and she said, you should definitely call in. The two managers at the time were both named Katie. So she said, but tell them your name is Caitlin, so that way it'll be less confusing. So that's the Katie Caitlin. And I started, and I took over the kids specialist, card specialist, and then I also did the merchandising pretty soon after I was hired, and then the assistant manager job opened up, and I applied for it, and then shortly after the manager job opened up, and I scooped it right up, and I love my little store.
Yes, you're requirement number one, you have to have some derivative of the name Katie. But let's start at the beginning, because not everybody understands this. What is a bookseller at Copperfield?
So a bookseller is basically just our general, when you're hired on, in most cases, you're going to be a bookseller. So for us, the main qualification is you have to be a reader and you have to have a passion for books. And we're pretty adamant on that one. And so when you start out as a bookseller, just having a really good knowledge of reading, and when I'm hiring specifically, we have a little word search match the author to the book that they wrote, which is always kind of fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of the true book nerds thrive on that one.
Did you study literature in school?
I did, it's interesting because that wasn't my career path necessarily, and one of the things, or I didn't think at the time, although now I can't imagine not working in the bookstore, one of the really great things about working at an independent shop, and a lot of our booksellers are in college currently, and so we can work around schedules. Back when people actually went to school, so that probably will start
in the olden days. Yeah, when I was in school, I was at San Francisco State University, and finally, after a number of semesters, they said to me, you really do have to pick a major. And we looked at my overall grade point average, and it wasn't fabulous. And then we looked at my English literature classes, and I had a 3.89, and we decided I was an English major, and so I was able to, and I read a lot of modern British literature, and got very involved and knew a lot about it at one time, some more broadly, but besides being an avid reader, do you periodically, and by the way, we're talking to Caitlin Smith. She is the manager of the Healdsburg location of the beloved Copperfields, which is a bookstore that, even though it has 9 locations, is really like your local town bookstore in many, many wonderful ways. Do you periodically go deep into a category where you just to say, I'm just going to read a whole bunch of books, about the early origins of apples or rural communities or Middle Eastern cookery. I mean, do you do that kind of an effort?
So I kind of categorize myself as a genre jumper. So I really love food essays and travel essays, and kind of experiencing other people's lives through literature is my niche, I would say. But then you'll read something and then take one little thing out of the book and you're like, I need to know everything about this. And so you'll order in, or I'll order in all of the books and really do a deep dive into it. And that definitely happens. I would definitely say I'm guilty of that.
And then it gets reflected in the collection that's being offered in the store.
And it's nice too for customers. If you can find someone in a store that has the same reading tendencies as you do, and that's what we recommend to customers, is just take a peruse of our staff rec section. And if you find a staffer that really jumps out to you as like, oh, we've read 6 of the same books and I loved them all, that's kind of like your bookseller, and we'll work with you to find the perfect next book for you to read.
It's so much better than an algorithm. I mean, my goodness, it's actually people. And it's the way we, when we're smart, pick a restaurant critic particularly when it's a town like San Francisco or New York or Chicago, where, or at Los Angeles, where there are a number of them, and you don't necessarily agree with them every single time about every single thing, but you understand where you stand in relation to that person in terms of review. I remember very vividly in the olden days when I was living in San Francisco, I didn't always agree with Patty Unterman, who was at the time writing for the San Francisco Chronicle and then later the Examiner, but I always knew where I was going to stand in relation to her perception. So when you find somebody who reads along the lines that you appreciate, you can go along with them even if you don't agree every step of the way. All right, when we get back here to the table, we're going to talk a little bit more with Katie about some of the things that we think of as associated with cooking books, but really are whole worlds of writing and research and knowledge and joy on their own. I mean, we're going to talk about gardening and nature. We're going to talk about farming and rural communities. We might even talk about, I don't know, the photography that goes along with some of the things that we love because they come out of the earth and out of the world in their own way, on their own terms, when we're back here at the table. And we are back at the table, and I'm talking to Caitlin Smith. She is the manager of the Healdsburg location of the beloved Copperfields bookstore. It's an indie in all the best ways. Copperfields has been kind enough to give us some of the awards for the MFK Fisher Last House Writing Contest. This is a contest where the submissions that are already in, we are at the finalist phase, folks. The people who have been judging and who will finally judge the winners in each of the categories, children, youth, and adults, are accomplished, successful, and award-winning authors and writers themselves. Ruth Reichel, Harold McGee, Elizabeth Fischel, Lena Trivedi-Grenier, Michelle Anna Jordan, Kennedy Golden, Jerry DeVecchio, Jonathan London, and Alice Waters. Katie, you know, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, the place that cookbooks and food books have in the Copperfield store in Healdsburg, which is, of course, a big cooking community, but in general, I realize that it changes with the seasons. Tell us a little bit about the seasonality of cookery books, and also about how, you know, what piece of the whole does it tend to represent?
I would say in most of the stores, it's going to be in our top 10 categories, because everyone loves a cookbook, and it's a nice gift to give because it brings a little bit of warmth with it. Even if you didn't put a lot of thought into it, a cookbook always feels like a really thoughtful gift, I find. In my store specifically, I tend to use cookbooks for display a lot. So no matter what display is going on, there are going to be a lot of cookbooks on it. So even for Halloween right now, we have all the cozy cookbooks, all the pumpkin goodness, they're all going to be on our displays right now. And we actually have a display for kids cooking because we found there's so many people, you know, with COVID, your kids are home, you're home. There really has been kind of a renaissance of going back and teaching your kids where our food comes from and then teaching them how to cook. So our kids cookbook section right now is incredibly popular.
Yeah, you know, my late dear friend who wrote all of the Fanny Farmer cookbooks and a lot of other wonderful cookbooks, Marion Cunningham, wrote a book called Cooking with Children. And my goodness, it's such a wonderful book. I actually gave my copy. It's one of the awards that it's going to be given out. But she talks about getting kids together and helping them to begin with by making a salad with a simple vinaigrette. And suddenly they have the power of cooking. Kids really can do so much with just a few comfortable skills that are really not that difficult. And suddenly you can transform what we have here in this community, which is very good ingredients, into wonderful meals. Top 10, that's pretty impressive. And when it comes to gardening and farming, how much of those are focused on food or edibles or are they, I mean, well, of course farming is, but are most of the gardening books on edibles, or are they mostly decorative here in Sonoma County?
I think classically it was mostly decorative, but this year more so than years in the past, there's been more people interested in having, there's a really great cookbook we actually, gardening book we had the authors years ago come out, and it's The Beautiful Edible Garden. And
yes,
that book has gained in some popularity recently, just having the ability to, you know, not just play on your lawn, but go out and pick something and eat it and prepare it and have it, you know, a fresh salad from your garden is such a treat.
Besides the cookbook club that you had there, tell us a little bit about the kind of events you have with authors, particularly cookbook authors or food book authors. I know I've done some events there. I did something with my American Cheeses, my artisan cheese book sometime. That was actually right after 2008-09 in the recession. I you know, always pick a really nice time to come out with a book. And also when with Rizzoli and the NYU Library was the co-editor of 101 Classic Cookbooks, 501 Classic Recipes. And we did a number of talks. I mean, you don't have to do a cooking class to do a wonderful event with a cookery author because there's so much that's personal about it, right?
Yeah. I, in the last couple of years, have begged our marketing and events department, like, bring me all the chefs. I want them all. I am very selfish. I need them all for Healdsburg. But it is such a foodie community that it tends to work in my favor. But it's really fun because I like to make at least two or three of the recipes from the book, and then depending on the author, they might bring one as well. And it gives the reader a good sense of, will I really like this? And then getting to hear the story of how they came up with the idea for the cookbook, and then, you know, if they did their own photography, what goes into that? And there's just so much to cookbooks. To get one out is quite a feat. So it's always a lot of fun to hear from the author their process, and, you know, getting, do you get to eat the food that's photographed? What happens to that, you know?
Exactly. Well, you know, in the olden days, by the way, I'm talking to Katie Smith, who is the manager of the Copperfields in Healdsburg, and we're talking about food books and authors. And yeah, I mean, you know, in the olden days, it's less so now in the world of Instagram, where so much of food is made already to be photographed. But in those days, food photography and food styling was such a big deal. And a lot of the food that was styled in those pictures would never be eaten by anybody with any sense at all. I remember they used to make black truffles out of clay and used coffee grounds. Yum.
Oh my.
You know, why not just get a truffle? Anyway, well, there are lots of reasons for that, right? But so gardening is getting more food centric than it ever has been before, right? We're all in our COVID victory gardens more than ever before. Has there been the kind of uptick in starts and plants and tomatoes and all that stuff that we've seen in all of our nurseries the last year?
Oh, totally. And even myself, I think in years past, I didn't focus on my garden as much. And then this year, it was like, let's just do it all. Let's plant it all. Let's really get it going. And there is such a sense of satisfaction being able to go out and pick your own tomatoes. And we've had a lot of parents coming in, and they really are putting the focus on, they want to show their child how to garden and pass that down and have that be a memory that they're making and a new tradition.
Well, I should ask you this, actually, in our last minute in this segment. How do we shop at Copperfields? Can we go inside, or do we come to the front door and say, what do you got, you know, that uses peaches? I mean, how does that work?
You're more than welcome in. We are open for customers now. And, if you come on in, you can definitely touch the books. If you're more comfortable, we're still offering curbside, and then you can always shop online as well. But, yeah, come on in, and we love – one of my favorite parts of my job is getting to hear the request of the customer and being able to hunt down exactly what they're looking for. I find so much satisfaction in that. So, yeah, come on in, give us some hunts to find, and we'd love to do that.
Yeah, and don't forget to bring your food-decorated patterned mask at all times, folks. Take care of each other and take care of yourselves. All right, we'll be back at the table. And we are back at the table. I'm Clark Wolf, and I'm here with Katie Smith. She's the manager of the Healdsburg location of Copperfield. Copperfield has kindly supplied some of the wonderful books that we're going to be giving as prizes for the Last House Writing Contest. We have some amazing judges and some wonderful submissions. I'm very much looking forward to having some of the winners on this show to read their wonderful stories. For young people, it was 350 to 500 words. For adults, it was 750 words. They're wonderful short articles, stories, essays. In fact, in one case, we didn't even ask for it. Somebody wrote a poem. And I love that because it's a finalist. Katie, you grew up here in Sonoma County. How did you get interested in books?
I grew up a reader. I'm very lucky my parents would take us to even this store and say we could pick out any book, my sisters and I, that we wanted. And kind of the only rule is as long as we'll read it, we could get it. And I remember going out with a stack of books to my grandma's house. She lives here in Healdsburg, and just being able to sit and read for the entire day. And so we were definitely a house of readers growing up.
Well, I think that's a wonderful way to be. I used to really enjoy, I don't do it anymore, and certainly not right now during COVID, but I used to buy books wherever I traveled. And in English, because I mean, I remember going to Shakespeare and Company in Paris across from Notre Dame and just want, you know, it was almost like I was saving up book buying so that I could put it into my luggage and have to lug it home back to either here in Sonoma County or to New York. And I have just stacks of books everywhere. I had about 3,000 books in New York, some of which have gone to the NYU library, some of which have gone into storage. And now, I'm kind of at the time in my life where I'm going back over and reading, you know, books that I've read before that I really, really loved. It's a little bit like, well, I mean, you know, seeing a film that you really loved and wanted to go back and see how you experienced that. But right now I'm in the middle of reading a review copy of a new book that I think you're going to have in your stores called The Man Who Ate Too Much. It's the biography of James Beard, written by John Birdsall, who's an award-winning writer and author who's based in Oakland. And it's, you know, I knew James in New York at the end of his life. You know, granted, I met him in the 70s in San Francisco, and he died in the, he died in 83 at 85 or in 85 at 83. I can't remember which. I think it was in 85 at 83 years old. And so to learn about this person's life and to learn about how it had an impact on food, has been an extraordinary process. When it comes to food writers, who have you tended towards? Who has had an influence? Who has had an impact for you?
Oh, man. Well, Ruth Reichel was here in 2015 with her cookbook, and I just took such a liking to her. She's an amazing writer. So I think anything that she does, it's just a natural, I am going to read that. And then I just started actually reading The Man Who Ate Too Much. And it's always fun to read because I feel like the cooking world is very small. So they kind of all walk in the same circle. So when you read one, you kind of find a name and you're like, oh, I need to read their book as well.
MFK Fisher's grandnephew, Luke Barr, wrote a book called Provence 1970 about a November visit in the south of France where MFK Fisher and Elizabeth David and James Beard and Richard Olney and Julia Child and the famed editor Judith Jones were all together. And in the way he writes it, he's suggesting that they all kind of decided what American food was going to be all about. So you can follow their careers all from that. But then when you read the book, I don't know how far you are into that book, it really is a history of American, but also very much New York food circles and publishing of that time. And of, well, when I say that time, I mean, you know, 50, 60, 70 years that preceded where we are now. Ruth is very much a result of that in a lot of ways. She lived in Greenwich Village growing up and then in Berkeley and you know, worked at Cal and had a vegetarian restaurant at the University of California at Berkeley, which is where I first met her, actually. And she was the LA Times restaurant critic and the New York Times restaurant critic, and she's the editor-in-chief of Gourmet Magazine. So when you talk to or read Ruth Reichel, you're really getting a generation and a half of a cross-section of, well, certainly the coastal elites when it comes to food. Any other favorite food writers for you?
I read, I think it was a year or two now, Kitchen Yarns by Anne Hood, and it's basically like her love letter to food. And in her book, I just found myself taking notes because she would mention a book or a cookbook that she was cooking out of, and I think I probably bought 8 to 10 books based on that book. But then Home Cooking by Lori Colwin, I discovered her through that book, and I just really fell in love with her writing as well. And there's just something so warm. I think with cookbooks and food essays in general, it's just such a warm feeling when you're reading them. It's very cozy and comforting.
I hope it is. Yeah, it's true. I mean, one of the reasons I stopped reading Jeffrey Steingarten, who used to work at Vogue, I don't even know if he does that anymore, is that while he was brilliant, there was something deeply upsetting about some of the ways he approached certain things in food. I was not, I will tell you, an Anthony Bourdain fan for a lot of reasons. We can talk about that some other time. But I like the fact that you go from one to another. In the olden days, if you wanted to know who was a good writer to read, you'd ask Jim Beard. But these days, there are so many more people writing about it. And it's lovely that you look at it that way, that you let one writer take you to the next and the next and the next. It's a blessing. All right, we'll be right back here at the table. And we are back at the table. I'm Clark Wolf, and I'm talking to Caitlin Smith. She is the manager of the Healdsburg location of our beloved indie bookstore, Copperfields. They were kind enough to give us a number of award-winning and award-giving, they are the awards themselves, books for the people who are the winners of the Last House Writing Contest. We're in the midst of judging and getting through some wonderful entries in the finalist round. And I wanted to talk to some of the nice folks that do all this. So, Katie, you've been telling us a lot about the books and the store and kind of your inspirations. It's really hard for me not to ask, what do you cook? What do you eat? Where do you shop for food?
So as far as cooking, I have a lot of vegetarians in my friend and family circle. So I tend to cook mostly vegetarian, but I do like to eat everything, and I'm a big fan of trying everything at least once. And as far as shopping, I think we're really lucky and spoiled in Sonoma County with our farmers market. So I try to shop local, as you know, close to home as possible by going to the farmers market and supporting our local farms.
So you do a lot of veg stuff. Yeah, you're very lucky. I mean, in Healdsburg, do you live in that area or do you live outside of Healdsburg?
So I live in Santa Rosa.
All right. Well, then there's plenty. I mean, there's several there. And then, of course, if you're in Healdsburg for any of the market days, that farmer's market is really very choice. I mean, it's really very precious. And I think of cookbooks as, I love that you talked about the fact that in the center of any merchandising of any topic, you might be able to find some food books that if you're talking about Halloween, yeah, they're going to be scary and spooky and thriller and this and that and the other, but there's going to be, you know, pumpkin pie and there's going to be, well, I was going to say pumpkin lattes, but no. But, you know, you're going to be able to use those wonderful food related things to connect with people and to be evocative of those things. But what are the biggest times of the year for selling cookbooks?
Christmas and Thanksgiving. I would say most people like to give cookbooks. We have a ton of people who come in, and there might be a specific cookbook that they have in mind, or I found a lot of sneaky people, and they'll give cookbooks to their loved one so that their loved one will cook them dinner, which I think is pretty genius.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, there was a time when, believe it or not, that Mother's Day was a big cookbook, which is really kind of an imposition on mom, right? And if your mom was anything like my mom was very talented at raising roses and she was a concert pianist, but boy, she was the worst cook ever. I think it's what got me involved in food. I was just hungry. But it doesn't surprise me that, and it's funny because at Thanksgiving, you know, we don't cook a lot of different things. We cook a lot of the same things over and over again. And, but at Christmas, I think it makes a great deal of sense. I think it's a wonderful way to have the holiday season at the hearth and home. And as we used to say, a lot of the reading of cookbooks is in bed, in the bath, at the beach, on the back deck. We're going to come to you for some more cookbooks and for all kinds of great books. Katie, thanks so much for being with us here at the table.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Thanks for having me.